Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 6th of January, recording at 7:58 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture, long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, a quick review of the week. And in terms of stock markets, generally very strong. The global stock market rally, if anything, has gathered pace since the beginning of this year, and that has continued in here today. Now, in terms of government bonds, generally steady overall. Is this a rising tide of liquidity lifts all boats situation? Well, more on that in a moment. And in terms of the U.S. dollar, big down week in here, including today, and this is providing ever more evidence that that dollar bull run has failed up in the 90 region for the U.S. dollar index, just above, and that we are heading back down towards the 80 level. And precious metals, well, it's been a war of nerves here, not to mention a war between the bulls and the bears. This week, with me on the sidelines as a spectator, having sold my or taken profits on my gold positions, I'm talking about the leveraged futures positions at the beginning of the week, and what we're seeing here today is that the week closing with the bulls definitely having the upper hand. There's some big dynamics in here today. More on that shortly. And oil, doing what the charts have been suggesting, but not what the consensus is expecting. Petroleum contracts rallying in here again today, quite strongly in some cases. Natural gas a bit conspicuous by its absence from that recovery. Okay, big picture, long-term outlook. Now, global stock markets. In this environment, it is very easy to become super bullish in here. Is the environment bullish right now? Yes, it is. That best case scenario of mine, which was that the October lows sparked a rally that would carry on through the year end and possibly well into the first quarter of this year. That's very much alive and well. But the gains that we're seeing are, for the most part, occurring at an unsustainable rate. Now, I say for the most part because we did see, if we take a market like Singapore, we'd seen a pause, we'd seen some downward dynamics, we'd seen it range around for a couple of months at least, and probably more than that, and then break upwards in here again this week quite strongly. So the important point to make is that as far as any of the major stock market indices are concerned, and Singapore is an important one in the Asian region, albeit a small country, but it's one market I always keep my eye on. In terms of the actual action, it's still reconfirmation on the upside. Now, I have pointed out previously that we'd seen some loss of upside impetus for some stock markets, and we'd also seen some greater volatility, and I regarded that as often those inconsistencies as a sign that the cycle was maturing, getting a bit long in the tooth, and that may well be the case, probably is the case, in my view, that this is a rapidly maturing stock market cycle, but it keeps getting a renewed wind, keeps getting a second wind. Well, it's had so many second winds, but you know the point I'm making in here today. So it is still alive and well, but the rate of advance that we're seeing is not sustainable. Now, people might say, well, okay, so big deal. You know, we get another little pause and consolidation, and then go on again. And most of the forecasts, as you know, for 2006 are exceptionally bullish. Well, let me outline the biggest risk here. The biggest risk is that stock markets are waltzing into a cul-de-sac. And what might the problem be? Well, first, I've already said, but I'll repeat it just one more time, that this rate of advance for a number of indices is unsustainable. We're beginning to get a number of Indian rope tricks here with some of these stock market indices. Now we've seen that before. That might indicate no more than a temporary pause. So we need other factors as well. There is the interest rate cycle. Now, if growth prospects are better for 2006 than many people have been forecasting. You know, there have been a lot of people talking about a slowdown. They've been talking about a slowdown in China for years, which certainly hasn't happened. And a lot of people have been talking about a slowdown in the USA this year, causing the Federal Reserve to go in and start chopping rates again. I don't think we'll see that anytime soon. I think with the Federal Reserve, which doesn't know what it'll be doing later in the year, how could it? But I'm in the camp that says that we'll get one, maybe two more rate increases, and then the Fed will hope that interest rates are going to stay on hold for quite some time. So it's not a case of, you know, the grand old Duke of York, march the troops up the hill and then march them straight back down again as far as short-term rates are actually concerned. So again, if we had stronger growth in 2006 than most people have been forecasting, that would suggest further increases in interest rates. Now, a lot of people will say, well, heck, rates are still historically low, and they're low in real terms, and I would agree with those points, but that's another headwind that could appear. But the big one, the really big one that concerns me, is the oil price. Because that consensus view at year-end, you know, was that we would see oil in the mid-40s in 2006, and here it is up again today, closing out the week at 64.21. That's the spot crude price in the United States. And you know, we've got the other contracts pushing up as well. And to me, natural gas situation is an overextended bungee cord decline and going to snap back. Now, I may have to wait for the cold weather to snap back in the United States, but I don't think too many of us would bet that that won't happen at some time over the next couple of months, and it could turn around very quickly, and the chart may well start to move, the price action may start to move just in anticipation of that pretty well inevitable change in the weather from the seasonally mild weather that we've seen. So what had been a psychological tailwind for stock markets, in other words, forecasts that we would have lower inflation and therefore less pressure on interest rates, and that we would have consumers quite much happier because of low gasoline prices. Gasoline shot up a lot. Have a look at that in the chart library. And you saw the chart I posted the other day when I booked my profit in that contract. So that's run up a great deal. And crude, well, it's not testing the Katrina highs, of course, but you know they're in sight here at 64.21. This is not, again, to repeat, this is not what the consensus expected. So that's the big one that concerns me, in terms of stock markets waltzing into a cul-de-sac. Now, the other factor that I would also cite in here is the U.S. dollar. Now, right now, U.S. dollar weakness, well, that may take a bit of the shine off Japan as people start to calculate export earnings. Possibly. I'm not saying it will, but it's a possibility. But in the short term, it's definitely a bull point for the U.S. and the U.S. stock market to have the dollar coming back down again. We can be pretty certain that the U.S. administration, the Treasury, was not thrilled with the strength that we'd seen for the dollar, and I doubt the Federal Reserve was that thrilled by the strength we saw in the U.S. dollar last year. Now, they don't want a dollar in free fall. No one does. But so far, The dollar looking like it's not going to go higher and actually retracing some of last year's gains, as I say, is bullish for Wall Street. But this move has been quite sharp. Now, I've already said that I thought we'd get a ranging decline. That's what we normally get in currencies. But if I'm wrong on that, and we get a continuation of the sharp decline for the dollar that we have seen in here this week, then it would not take all that long. It'd take more than a couple of weeks, but it would not take all that long before people began to view this as a dollar crisis. And then they'd start to talk about, would the Fed be jacking interest rates up even higher? I doubt it, but you see the point I'm making is that if the dollar is falling too quickly, that will certainly annoy other central banks, cause concern in other countries over export earnings, and it may well could easily cause some foreigners to pull out of U.S. assets. It could be an emotionally destabilizing factor at a time when some people have been describing what we're seeing in markets as a perfect environment of moderate interest rates, moderate inflation, rising corporate profits, and are exceptionally bullish. Now, I've also described in my stock market piece that I wrote on Tuesday that we were seeing a bit of a buying panic in here, and that continues. And I think there are a lot of, as I said before, a lot of very smart people who have some major reservations about the historical cyclical factors that could cause this market to be in trouble later on in the year, these stock markets to be in trouble later on in the year. And so it's kind of a make hay while the sun shines, to coin a phrase, situation here in the short term. They're hoping to get in their performance early and then cut back significantly and in a damage control exercise and see what actually happens. So how do we actually play it? Well, I'm certainly happy to run with the hares here, but I'll also hunt with the hounds, coin another phrase. And when I see this, well, I may well lighten a little bit further, although today I leveraged up again in the Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust further, but I may lighten further in my portfolio. Hopefully we have a few more weeks on the upside in this rally so that one can do this at leisure. But I certainly don't think we're going to see 12 months of action equivalent to what we've seen here during the first few weeks of the year, and I do maintain we will see a significant downdraft in 2006, with second quarter and third quarter as being the peak risk periods. Now, that's not a horrific nightmare. I'm not looking for a crash, and I wouldn't even classify that as a bear market, although it depends how you measure it statistically. Could we get a number of markets falling 20-30%, a bit more in the case of some of the emerging markets? Sure, we could. That could happen, but I regard it as a medium-term downtrend creating a good buying opportunity. Okay, regarding my big themes here, I'm really not playing the usual broking and investment management community game of, now do we switch from this sector to that sector, get the rotational plays. For instance, technology is all the rage here right now and has been for the last couple of months or so. I understand the logic behind this, but I'm not interested in playing that. I'm staying very much with my resources theme, and I'll summarize that, as you've heard me say before, with supply and elasticity meets rising demand, and that demand is going to go on rising and rising and rising for these resources. And consider just one point that Owen pointed out to me yesterday. I think I might have mentioned this yesterday, but it's a point worth repeating on the Friday audio in terms of this demand for resources. We have approximately a billion people living in the developed world. Maybe it's a little bit more than that. we've got approximately 5 billion people living in the developing world, and some of those developing countries are growing very rapidly indeed. And the middle classes, therefore, in those countries are expanding very rapidly. And as wealth is created in these dynamic emerging economies, China and India are the two biggest and most obvious examples, then that creates considerable renewed demand for resources as everybody goes from the bicycle economy to the scooter economy and then the automobile economy, and they want the fridges and the air conditioners and all the gizmos that we carry around with us, as well as anybody else. So we are seeing unprecedented demand for these resources. And then you get the petrodollars, which is leading to the building of cities, the continued building expansion of cities, such as we see in Dubai. And so we're getting all this demand going on in this phenomenal surge, and the supply is not keeping up with this. And it takes a long time to increase the supply, and then there are environmental problems, and then there are equipment shortages, and the lack of, or shortage rather, of trained personnel. So the supply for these industrial resources is just not picking up all that fast. And then you have Matthew Simmons' sort of terrifying peak oil story to contend with. So, I'll stick with that resources theme rather than say, oh, well, maybe I should have a punt here in software or whatever else in the technology sector. Is technology hot right now? Sure, it is. Can that go on in the short term? Absolutely, it can go on, but to me, that's a cyclical move rather than a secular trend. And there are always a few exceptions to that. Google's the one that would spring to everyone's mind in here today. But we've seen this kind of phenomenon before. These Wunderkinds go up and up and up and up. And people are really competing with each other now. Analysts are really competing with each other. All the tech analysts coming out of the woodwork. And we're having a forecasting war in terms of how high Google can actually go. Well, I will watch its magnificent ascent and look for hopefully an eventual Type 3 top formation and happily short it on the way back down. I feel more comfortable with my resources plays on the way up. Okay, also emerging markets, very powerful theme of mine. India is my favorite stock market for the very long term. I don't see that changing really. And I like all the emerging market sector, but governance, governance, governance is absolutely crucial here. And so I usually shy away, almost always shy away from these authoritarian kleptocracies and these whether it's a right wing or left wing hardline regimes, that's not for me. And I think there you don't have rule of law, and you and I are really, as I've said before, really only going to make money if the apparatchiks want us to. And of course they do from time to time. And China has been going hell for leather to revive its stock market, and it's been succeeding. And I've been commenting on that, Owen and I, as we've seen the gradually improving pattern there for the China A-shares index. You can see that, of course, in the subscribers chart library. And it's been showing base development characteristics for over a year. Excuse me. Type 3 base formation characteristics, and it's had a really quite good run in the short term, and no doubt that will help or is helping Hong Kong and will continue to help Hong Kong in the short term. But China is not a market that really interests me. The two where I'm quite overweight right now are India and Thailand, and I'm delighted with the performance of both. Will I sell some of those in anticipation of a downdraft later in the year? I'd rather not, but I may, is the is the answer. But if I have to ride out a medium-term correction in India, I will not lose an enormous amount of sleep over that. And the risk with some of these very, very good stock markets is that in terms of their medium to longer term potential, the risk is that we treat it like some sort of cyclical move and step out too soon and then wind up watching. Okay, I think that's enough on the stock markets. In terms of government bonds, I think that this is the asset class that will do least well for you. It has rallied in here recently. That was predictable, as prices had fallen back. I'm talking about long-dated government bonds now, had fallen back down towards the March lows of last year. That was an important low. So they've been rallying from those levels. I don't like it. I maintain that overall government bonds are in a long-term topping out process. If I'm right and we do get the downdraft for stock markets in 2Q and or Q3 of this year, then I would expect bonds to do well against that background, and that would create a good shorting opportunity. Currently, I have no exposure there, long or short. I'm certainly not going to be buying them, and I may well be. Well, I would. I'm keeping an eye out for another optimum shorting opportunity. Now, U.S. dollar. I've already covered it. I think we are going to go back down and test the 80 level. I would have expected a jagged decline, if only because that's the way currencies usually move. And also, interest rate differentials still favor the US dollar in a number of instances. What we've seen today is an unwinding of that yen carry trade in here. That's been the big gainer here today, the Japanese yen. And that certainly looks like a medium-term trend change, and I think that we've seen the dollar's peak against the yen. I think we saw that last month, and we are on the way back down. Now, in terms of precious metals, this is a phenomenal bull market. I talked a lot about earlier on about the supply and elasticity meets rising demand theme. That applies to the precious metals. Also, they of course are being remonetized in the eyes of investors. So this is really quite a dramatic, quite an important situation, and I do think prices are going to go a great deal higher. I have been hoping that we'd see another correction down towards those December reaction lows, where I bought last time. But as of today's action, and this is a type of situation where one can be embarrassed by the day-to-day dynamics in here, but as of today's action, well, I would say that that's pretty well offset the negative developments that we had seen yesterday, particularly for gold. And it's really quite bullish action. So I don't know if I'm not jumping back in again just yet, but I may have to do that before too long. Now, industrial metals, how many times have you heard people say sell copper? Well, up again in here today, and most of these industrial metals look very strong. Nickel continues to push higher. That had been one of the laggards previously, although it closed up only $25. It had been up a couple of hundred at one stage. But I certainly do think we'll see the demand for these industrial metals continue, and the supply problems will also persist. This is a major, major secular bull market theme. In terms of the agricultural commodities, well, there's a lot of speculation and punting going on in there. The funds have led the charge for the most part. It's a more dangerous area. You get some pretty spectacular moves in those markets, but they tend to be very of a more short-term nature. We do not in my view, have secular bull market themes going on in the agricultural commodities. But given that they are so depressed historically, I maintain, as I have for the last couple of years, that big surprises will be on the upside. Now, what else to mention? I haven't talked about oil. Well, I have in the context of the supply and elasticity meets rising demand. And I will wrap this up where I actually started. Stock markets, explosive gains. The Dow's up 79 points as I speak, with about 35, 36 minutes to go on the day. That's terrific action. NASDAQ is up 1.24% in here, so it's still all go, and I'm sure we'll have some euphoric weekend press comments in here. But the problem is, it's unsustainable here beyond the short term, and my biggest concern is that stock markets are waltzing into a cul-de-sac. Folks, have a terrific weekend. All the best.